answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
With a major escalation between the U.S. and Venezuela, the U.S. seized a large oil tanker off the coast of the South American country. Attorney General Pam Bondi shared this video on social media. You'll see U.S. forces propelling down from helicopters, then searching the vessel. Bondi wrote the U.S. had sanctioned the tanker due to its, quote, involvement in an illicit oil shipping network supporting foreign terrorist organizations, end quote. President Trump first announced the seizure yesterday.
We've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, a large tanker, very large. It was seized for a very good reason. I guess so. We're going to keep the oil.
Well, we did it. We seized that ship on the high seas carrying Venezuelan oil. It is a tanker that we intercepted that was probably destined for Iran or China. Either way, it's under sanction. It's under sanction, and Venezuelans... leader, dictator, Maduro, doesn't give a damn about the U.S. citizens and the world itself. He's more concerned about his dictatorship, and he wants to bring money in, and the best way to do it is shipping out oil. So we intercepted this tanker, and you would have thought that we'd absolutely blown it out of the water and killed all the crew on board like we've been doing with the cocaine boats. You listen to the left lashing out. And it's not just the left. There's some Republicans as well, upset that we took this action. Are we going to try to stop what Maduro is doing, poisoning our nation and others? Or are we just going to look the other way? I'd ask that question of Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, Republican. He's expressing concern that the seizure of that Venezuelan oil tanker could further increase tensions between the two countries. So what? They're not going to be playing nice at any point. But then Senator Rand Paul with the extra step. I called him Republican. He's really a libertarian. But he said, it sounds a lot like the beginning of a war. I think that's a reach too far at this point, just based on what has happened. But here come the Democrats to back up Senator Rand Paul. Senator Coons, Delaware. Said, I don't know the details of the incident. Well, stop it right there. You don't know details. Shut your mouth until you get details. But he wanted to jump in and say, I'm gravely concerned. Trump is sleepwalking us into war with Venezuela. We're going to break it down. I've got a guest coming up. We'll get into all this for you. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA on December 11, 2025. And reminding you with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. When you finish listening the next 2 hours, you will have more information and knowledge than you have right now. I promise you that. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you go to do that? Well, you'll go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble or Facebook. And if you miss anything, audio or video, later posted as a podcast at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. In our next hour, the Minnesota fraud. Do you know that according to one report, 8 out of 10 Somali families, let me repeat that again, 8 out of 10 Somalian families are on welfare in Minnesota. 8 out of 10. Really? And yet they continue to defend it. Jazz Crockett says, oh, there's no real fraud. I mean, you can't ever stop fraud anyway, so you can't really be blaming everybody. Can't blame everybody. And later this hour, we have a heritage Latin expert on the Venezuelan ship and what we're trying to do with Venezuela. Are we trying to oust Maduro, pushing for regime change? Yes, but in what way and how? Now, we're not in the nation building for America. We're in it for the world and protecting all interests. But you're going to see more of those noises pop up. Later this hour, we'll have that heritage to Latin American expert break it down for us. Plus, the story behind the story tonight, the night of tornadoes. I want to remind you our food drive is underway at News Talk STL. And glad to say one of our sponsors stepping forward to add more support. We've already had a gathering of Bartolini's, Chris's Pancake House, Michael's Flooring, all offering locations where you could drop off non-perishable items to feed the people that need it. We're working with the St. Louis County Republicans on that. And now one of our sponsors, STL Windows and Doors, saying we'll be putting up a drop box at our location. St. Louis Windows and Doors, we thank you for stepping forward and doing that. Well, before we go any farther, I guess I have to say, I have to point this out to you because I don't want to be accused of ignoring a very big story. Joyless Reid. All right, I sucked all the air out of the room on that one, didn't I? Joyless Reid wants you to know, in case you had any doubt about it, Jingle Bells is racist. If I hear you singing or whistling Jingle Bells, I will say you are racist. Just giving you a fair warning. All right, back to the real news and the real issues and dealing with this ship that we gathered. Here's the added info presented by CBS News.
Sources tell CBS that the vessel seized is called the Skipper, sanctioned by the U.S. government in 2022. And Attorney General Pam Bondi, in a statement on social media, alleged that it was used to transport oil from Venezuela and Iran, saying for multiple years the oil tanker has been sanctioned by the U.S. due to involvement in illicit oil shipping networks supporting foreign terrorist organizations. Now, sources tell CBS News that the administration is potentially considering more similar missions, additional seizures. This once again ratchets up the tensions with Venezuela and the Maduro regime, already heightened because of the series of ongoing strikes on alleged boat strikes that we've seen. Now, Venezuela's government in a new statement said, quote, it strongly denounces and repudiates what it says constitutes shameless robbery and an act of international piracy.
Right, right. Will you continue to do it and continue to do it? Did you not think at some point the hammer would be dropped? Now, what happens after this? And is this a push for ousting Maduro? We have Will Freeman, who's a counsel or with the Council for Foreign Relations. He was asked, is this a position where we see the U.S. pushing to get rid of Maduro?
I think it likely is about that. I know the Trump administration has been talking about all this pressure as a sort of counter-narcotics campaign, but you're constantly seeing statements off record by administration officials saying Maduro's days are numbered. He's only leaving office a couple of ways. He better take off now, et cetera. So I do think that that's the goal. I think that's the goal Secretary of State Marco Rubio is very intensely pursuing here. Now, is it working? We don't know yet, honestly, is the unsatisfying answer. It's the regime politics in Venezuela is very opaque. Nicolas Maduro governs the country really with a large number of generals. And the hope is that one of those generals will see the sign of the tide turning here, turn on Maduro and force him to flee the country or arrest him. But honestly, unfortunately, my forecast is pretty pessimistic. This is a regime that knows how to control its own military. The military is infiltrated by spies. Military members who've tried to turn on Maduro before have been tortured. Their families have been kidnapped and disappeared. So I'd imagine that the levels of fear and paranoia are just so great that you're going to have very few high-ranking military members who would take that risk.
Can you imagine that situation? You know it's wrong what your country is doing, your leadership is doing. And I'm not talking about in the U.S., reference Trump or any other one that you want to put in front of us. We're talking about under a dictatorship, a real dictatorship. Trump is not a dictator. Doesn't claim to be. He's not a king, despite what you hear from the leftist. Maduro would send out troops, gathering people up out of their homes if he heard that they were even whispering about getting rid of him. And then they disappear. Hal Kemper is a former Marine intel operative, and he said, looking at what we've been doing here and in seizing this oil tanker, it might be about time.
You know, Austin, it is unusual. And one of the reasons that it's being done is simply because we have the forces there to do it. In many cases, these tankers, these sometimes called dark tankers are involved in various smuggling of sanctioned oil and things like that, which is what this tanker is accused of doing. They go in and out. They don't get stopped because we just simply don't have the forces on hand to do the interdiction. In this case, that tanker came out of the port in Venezuela, and we have this massive naval armada out there and everything that we need to stop it. We have a lot of ways that this has been identified, not just by the U.S., but by other countries involved with illegal shipments of oil from Iran to various different other places. I would not be surprised if we find out that this was involved with ship-to-ship transfers at sea, which are very hazardous, potentially causing significant environmental damage. That could have been some of the stuff done. This particular load, though, was coming out of Venezuela, was supposed to be going up to Cuba, and then it was going to get transshipped, from what I can tell, probably over to China. But, you know, it was bringing sanctioned oil out, and the U.S. stopped it, and it had been linked to a number of other illegal maritime activities, and that was probably enough. And there's also a report out that the individual that either owns the ship or owns the cargo, wasn't quite clear to me, is linked to Maduro and other senior Venezuelan officials.
No doubt. No doubt he is. And he's already shouting and hollering, that's my oil, that's my cargo, that's my ship. If you're going to have sanctions against a country, they're not of any value unless you're going to enforce them. And I also want to point out something. Our U.S. forces had boarded that ship. Helicopters flying them over the ship, and then they fast rope down to the deck. That is a very dangerous maneuver. When you're fast roping off of a helicopter, things can go wrong, and they have in the past. In this case, it went exactly as a train, over and over. But I don't want you to think this was not without the possibility of a U.S. service member, one of our U.S. forces, being injured or killed. When they hit the deck, they pulled up their automatics, and anyone that wanted to come out and challenge them, no one did. My guest in the next segment will break down the U.S. seizing the tanker on a military level and also a foreign policy level. But first, the left continues to not accept any Trump White House explanations on anything. And in fact, the left, with the help of the legacy media, no surprise there, continues to focus on the U.S. targeting cocaine boats.
Congressman, I want to ask you about that controversial second strike and the question of whether
the Pentagon should release footage of the second strike
on the alleged drug boat on September 2nd. Do you think the American people need to see it, and why?
I think the American people do need to see it. We used the prestige of the American military, our reputation, to kill these men. Someone ordered these men to be murdered, and the American public should see it for themselves to make a determination. Is this the way that we want to conduct ourselves as a country? Because if this is what we're doing to men that have surrendered, and let's give that maybe they were drug dealers, we don't execute people in the United States for being drug dealers. Why are we destroying, killing these men that are actually giving themselves up after waiting in the water for 45 minutes.
No, really, really. I mean, get over it. Get over that second boat strike. This is what they keep trying to go back to because they have nothing else, and they think it caught hold with some of the public. Oh, my God, we are murdering people in the seas when they're trying to survive after their boat has been hit. I've not seen the second video, nor have you. And I don't know if Senator Ruben Gallego, you were listening to there from Arizona, has actually seen it. But he says the American people should see it. I agree with that. Let us see it. Has not been released yet. Why did that second strike need to be carried out? Well, everything indicates the boat was not sunk on the first strike. The mission, destroy the boat. Destroy it. And that means anybody on board. So if they came back for a second tap on that boat, yeah, they were probably going to get whatever survivors were there. But they weren't going after the men. They were going after the boat again. At least that's what we've been told. Now, I would like to see the video to confirm that. But again, the left is not going to get over this because they think it's a rally cry they can use against Trump. To quote Arizona Senator Gallego again, the American public should see it for themselves, which I agree. And he said, we use the prestige of the American military, our reputation, to kill these men. He's flat out saying Trump send an order, just murder these men. Basically, regardless of the facts, you know that's not correct. But the CNN host set up a perfect softball for him. Do you think this is good? Oh, yeah. Knocked that one out of the park, didn't he? And then reference the seizure of that oil tanker off the Venezuelan coast. Kentucky Senator Democrat Richard Blumenthal.
Clearly, this seizure of an oil tanker with Venezuelan oil, even if it is a tanker that has illegally shipped Iranian oil in the past, and therefore they've gotten a seizure warrant to take into custody, is still a significant escalation in the pressure campaign against Venezuela. So it is, again, a step toward possible conflict without any authorization from Congress. The idea that there is armed conflict here and it justifies either seizing the tanker or going against the boats in the Caribbean that they've been striking, 23 of them, killing more than 80 people, is really one that cries out for scrutiny. And that's why I've called for a subpoena of all the records, documents, videos, and after action reports, because what we're seeing here is a cover up. The lack of full transparency is deeply troubling.
Deeply troubling with the cover up. Riddle me this. Riddle me this. Did Senator Blumenthal raise any questions and call for a full inquiry into Obama using drones to hit targets in Yemen and elsewhere? Somalia? No. No, because it's Obama. You're not going to question Obama. But Trump is a, as they see, a legitimate target. Is this action going to push into some kind of additional military action against Venezuela? It's possible. But it might also, it might actually stir dissent inside the Maduro regime if they can get away with it and not be executed once the whispers and rumorings start. If you're going to impose sanctions, they mean nothing if you do not enforce them. Apparently this boat was allowed to go back and forth several times. And then the word came, no more. And we've got a massive naval armada off the coast of Venezuela for that very purpose, to shut that down. And now they want to claim that. That's not right. That's not right. Well, not right is you violating the sanctions and trying to slip oil in and out and pull in more money for the Maduro regime. The story behind the story tonight, the night of deadly tornadoes. But first, a closer look at the Venezuelan ship. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John Beale and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beale. John Beale Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beale Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It hasn't come with maximum economic pressure. Right now, the Trump administration has continued a Biden-era license that allows Chevron, the U.S. oil company, to drill in Venezuela. And Chevron's pumping about a third of the oil we see pumped every day in the country. Now, could Trump escalate there? It's possible, but there are some pretty strong oil industry interests that want normality here, that want a continued relationship with Nicolas Maduro. So we haven't seen him take that step yet. It's also possible that full pressure economic sanctions, really cutting off the oil supply, could increase out migration. And we know that that's another concern for this administration. They don't want that. So I think we'll see. But again, I think unless we're willing to put U.S. boots on the ground, I don't see a transition to an opposition-led government in Venezuela, full stop. Unfortunately, I think we have the dictator Maduro remaining in power, continuing his very oppressive rule. And ultimately, I mean, I think the Trump administration will come to some kind of deal with him and call it success.
That's Will Friedman with the Council on Foreign Relations. And he dropped the name of a major oil company, U.S. oil company, still operating in Venezuela. To help us fully understand that, Andre Fernandez, Heritage Foundation Senior Latin American Policy Analyst. Andre, glad to have you on board.
Thanks for having me.
Let's break down. He mentioned Chevron is still operating. Now, we have said that we have sanctions against Venezuela shipping oil out and trying to shut down their money flow. But we have a U.S. oil company operating still inside Venezuela. How's that happening? And is that a contradiction of the sanction?
Well, what we have is a very significant set of restrictions on Chevron's presence in Venezuela. And it's important to note that that presence really predated the emergence of this narco state and narco dictatorship. So it's been the efforts to carve out in the past a presence that or a set of permissions that allow Chevron to maintain its assets there really stems from that long existing presence and historically a view that it's best for the United States to preserve control of its private sector assets abroad and prevent that from being seized, which I think would be the case in Venezuela.
Yeah, not to naturalize Chevron and take it over, right?
Exactly. But at the same time, it's a very severely limited presence that really has limited benefits for the regime itself. So I don't think that it is at odds with the effort to press and pressure the regime necessarily.
Well, Will Friedman was pointing out again with the Council on Foreign Relations, he said it's actually helping stop mass migration out of Venezuela, escaping, basically, because Chevron is providing economy and things of that nature for the nation and the people. You buy that?
Well, I don't think so, because, I mean, in part, we've already seen about 8 million Venezuelans leave the country in the past several years.
And rightly so.
Fleeing back. Yeah, exactly. It's a terrible economic crisis. People are fleeing also violence and repression and starvation. That presence hasn't prevented that mass migration exodus. And I don't think that if the presence of Chevron is restricted further, I don't think that's going to trigger another change. Really, at the end of the day, what the primary source of mass migration and trigger for that is this regime, which is, again, attacking and repressing its own people and destroying the economy.
You're listening to Andre Fernandez with the Heritage Foundation. Now, just in response to the seizure of the tanker, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, with the Republican Party identifying that more libertarian, his statement, I'm quoting, "It sounds a lot like the beginning of a war." Your response?
No, I don't think that's accurate at all. You know, this is a ship that was smuggling oil out of Venezuela under a falsely flagged ship and evading sanctions across international waters to transport that oil shipment towards the Venezuelan cronies in Cuba. That is a effort, if anything, to hold this regime accountable for its theft of assets and resources from the American, from the Venezuelan people, and also to ensure that we are enforcing international sanctions, which we haven't done in a consistent manner in the past. And that is something that has allowed these anti-American regimes like Venezuela to survive.
Yeah, you're right. We've been giving only lip service to the sanctions. So the seizure of this tanker, looking at it from a military tactic to political strategy, how do you see it?
Well, I do think it is a new effort within this broader strategy to pressure the Venezuelan regime and Nicolas Maduro with an eye towards his eventual exit from power. And it's important in that this oil revenue, like the illicit narcotics revenue, is an important lifeline for the narco regime in Venezuela. It is, while the resources, very few go to the benefit of the Venezuelan people, it does come into the country and enable Maduro to buy loyalty and buy support from a core segment of the military and other leaders within Venezuela that ensure the regime maintains power. That's ultimately what the Trump administration, with this effort, is attempting to cut off, particularly in these channels where it violates international and U.S. law, whether it's sanctions or narco-trafficking.
So what about members of Congress crying out that Trump can't do this? He needs congressional authority.
It's certainly not the case that there's congressional authority needed for seizing an illicit smuggling shipment of oil, as we just have done. And I think when it comes to some of these strikes in the Caribbean against narco boats, I think the reality is that this is an approach that the United States has used for decades in other parts of the world, in the Middle East, in particular, to confront terrorist threats, including Houthi rebels and other terrorist organizations that threaten international shipping lanes and other critical infrastructure That, for whatever reason, and I think there are numerous reasons, but we haven't applied those same tools in our home hemisphere to these narco-terrorist threats that actually have a far greater impact on the American people through overdose deaths, which are hundreds of thousands, and destabilizing of the American society and cities.
Former Secretary I lost that reference. Let me come back around another way here. If we look at what we did seizing this boat, is that setting up that no shipment will be leaving again, and that's the word to Maduro. You try it again, we'll grab it again.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's an important effort within this broader strategy, again, to really cut off this illicit revenue stream, which has benefited pretty exclusively the regime. And again, it uses smuggling tactics in cooperation with Iran and other violators of sanctions. And the Trump administration is simply backing up U.S. law and U.S. sanctions with actual enforcement. And I think that's entirely appropriate and necessary if we're going to protect the American people from these threats, including this narco regime in Venezuela.
What I keep seeing the left, and with the help of legacy media doing, pointing out to that September 2nd attack, the so-called double tap event, and claiming that there's proof there that Trump is just out to murder the people. And, of course, we have not seen the video. And you got Ruben Gallegos of Arizona and Blumenthal, Connecticut, saying the people should see this. It's outright murder. They are using that the best way they can, weaponizing it against Trump and Trump supporters. What are they missing?
Well, I'd say I think that many of these criticisms and attacks on this effort from the administration are really bad faith, frankly. And in part, it's because these same strategies and tactics have been used by previous administrations, including the Obama administration, the Biden administration, with drone strikes and other lethal actions in the Middle East.
But that's what they want to ignore. That is exactly what they want to ignore. Andre Fernandez, Heritage Foundation Senior Latin American Policy Analyst. As always, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Wishing you a blessed Christmas.
Likewise.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they're just resorting to the same old, same old. If we can try to use this little trap and just build it around Trump, it's not going to work. Hasn't worked. It will not work if you have your eyes open. Coming up, our new feature we've introduced on the 6 o'clock report, and that is the story behind the story, or you might shortly label it TSBT. But the night of the deadly tornadoes coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDLES or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDLES, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
In all my decades of covering news, I have covered untold numbers of tornadoes and the damage they left behind. Some stand out more than others, but they all left destruction and sometimes death, often death. And when a tornado hits in the dead of night, when people are sleeping, even if sirens are sounding, it is the worst time for one to hit because no one is really paying that much attention. They go to bed with a tornado warning, or rather watch posted, a tornado watch, and at some point that changes to a tornado warning. But they're fast asleep and they don't hear anything. Wake up the next day, maybe they're okay, but friends of the same community were wiped out. I'll take a moment on behalf of the meteorologists to point this out. Every time you hear someone say a tornado struck without warning, the meteorologist will insist, and I agree with them, there was warning. There was a warning. When we put up a watch, that means it's very likely for a tornado. And a warning is issued when one is either sighted by eye or Doppler radar. So you have a watch. It's likely to be a possibility. That's your warning. But if a tornado hits at night, it's only with sunrise you get a full idea of just how bad it was. On the morning of April 17th, that was a Friday, 1970, there was a low front super trough, as they call it, pushing across the southern plains. At the Weather Bureau office in Lubbock, a meteorologist, Johnny Gray, said, "I know it's going to be a busy evening." He was tracking the storm on radar in the Plains area, the panhandle of Texas. And he dialed, apparently, he said, the first number on the index card listing key contacts in a town called Whiteface, so he could reach someone to tell them you need to send the alert out. He got a recording saying, "The number is not in service." He dialed the second number, got the same recording. That night, the high school senior class in Whiteface, Texas, near Lubbock, was performing their play named Lights Out. As the performance was underway, a tremendous sound was heard, and then a powerful suction that many say took their breaths away. The lights went out, the windows crashed in. Apparently, those at the play had not gotten the word of the watch, much less a warning. 30 people were injured. That tornado roared onto another location where it destroyed a high school gym and a volley game was underway. Fans and players got out just in time. And then 50 miles to the northwest, another supercell storm out of the same cluster produced another tornado that killed one woman. In fact, Lubbock was dealing with two different tornadic supercells. The second would produce tornadoes all the way to Pampa and the Texas Panhandle. And that is where I came into heavier play on that story. We'd wrapped up the evening news, said our goodnights, got off, and the phone started ringing. There were reports coming out of a community, a resort, lake community, Sherwood Shores, at Greenbelt Reservoir, about 55 miles to the northeast of Amarillo. The reports were there was a massive tornado hit that lake resort community in the dead of night. And it had happened an hour before anyone could get word out, maybe more. This resort community, this is before cell phones, they had a cluster and a neighborhood of mobile homes, the worst place to be if a tornado hits. Mobile home community on one side of the lake and on the other side of the reservoir. There's a report from one source that says the Osborne family in that region already been in their cellar once and realized they might have to go back after they got an all clear, but then they realized here came another tornado. That's the cluster tornado. You get one pass, you think it's better. And then when it occurs at night and rain-wrapped, you cannot see it. You may be able to hear it, but if you've got heavy wind and rain falling, sometimes it's hard to distinguish until it's right on top of you. And at that Greenbelt Reservoir were more than 150 were that night because they were residing there. They had their trailer homes around the reservoir. They liked a lakeside community. Go out, do a little fishing, boating, whatever, and then just live there. It's a perfect idyllic spot until this night. Many probably went to bed that night knowing there was a forecast of tracking a tornado at one point, and then later one near Pampa, which was not that far from them. Whether or not they heard it was concerned. One couple said that they heard it and they were concerned enough to leave their trailer, their home. They got out of the region. But that tornado lifted, and the Lubbock Weather Bureau issued an all clear. The atmosphere seemed to be stabilizing. The event appeared to be over. So this couple and some of their friends, they decided to go back home. In fact, the husband of one of them said, I put on a pot of coffee. It's all over. We're already awake, so we'll have some coffee, and then we'll go back to bed. Won't keep us up. They were waiting for the coffee to get hot. And they said they heard the tornado. There was nowhere for them to go at that point. They were back in the mobile home, and it was bearing down on them. This man and his wife and another couple were among those killed as the tornado slashed into Sherwood Shores Resort. They had about 1,000 mobile homes in that area, 1,000. But of course, when that tornado came through at night, it was hard to tell how bad the damage would be. And with the weather conditions that night, there was no way we could get from Amarillo to the resort and get any coverage. We would have to wait for daylight. And with first break of light and safe to get the helicopter up, we headed to this lake resort near Pampa. Again, 55 miles to the northeast of Amarillo. Before we arrived, we were passing over fields, and you could see the prior path of the tornado before it hit the resort area. Debris everywhere, 2x4s driven through cattle, pinning them to the ground. And then we got to the resort, and it was a mess of crushed aluminum, mobile home parts here and there, everywhere. We followed the path probably 5 to 8 miles north before it seemed to be dwindling off. And then we turned back to the resort area and getting more footage. We sat down and got some additional stories and then heard that many of those who had been injured had been taken to the hospital. The hospital did not amount to much at that area, but it was going to have to do that night. when an emergency came roaring out of the sky. Again, you consider 1,000 mobile homes at the Sherwood Shores Resort. If you put only two person to each mobile home, that gives you a good figure. But it was bigger than that because some had families there. Again, it was April 1970. But there is more to the story, behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So there was a massive tornado outbreak in April 1970 across Texas, primarily around the Panhandle area. If you're familiar with it, you look at Lubbock and go north to Amarillo. And it started to the south of Lubbock and crossing northeast across the Texas Panhandle. Supercells. They would fire up, drop off a tornado, go back up, and then another one would drop down. The Storm Prediction Center said 15 tornadoes occurred between April 17 and 18 on that 1970 year, nine of those in the state of Texas, and four of the nine rated an F4. It was an F4 that struck the Sherwood Shores Resort community at Greenbelt Reservoir. 16 fatalities blamed on that particular tornado. And 13 of them happened at the Greenbelt Reservoir. The injured were taken, as I said, to the closest hospital, but it was too much for them to handle, but they had to do what they could at the time until they could get more help in and arrange for transfer of other victims. Hospital staff summoned in, and they were trying to figure out, what do we do next? What happens? So we go to the hospital after covering some of the events around the resort itself and the damage on the ground. And I'm interviewing one person in a hospital bed. They granted us the interview, and they're telling their story. A frightening story about they heard the noise before anything, and everything was crashing down around them, and they were able to find one of their two kids, one still missing. There was concern that many had been dropped off in the lake, picked up by the tornado and thrown into the lake. It might be forever, and there was debris all over the lake. The mobile homes on the southern part of that reservoir were spread all across the lake and beyond. And while interviewing this patient, I was trying to get a little closer to the bed to get the microphone in a better position because they were just barely speaking, whispering almost. And I felt my foot hit something under the bed. And I kept moving around. I hit it again. Well, I had to back away from the bed, but we got the interview. And when we finished, I looked down under the bed. What was under the bed that I kept hitting? Under the hospital bed, bed were two bodies. As those in the bed would die, the hospital had nothing they could do but put them under and open the bed up for someone else. And ironically, weeks before this tornado hit, there'd been a vote to improve and build a better hospital for the county. The vote was rejected. They thought, we don't need a bigger hospital. We got fine. We got everything we need. And that night proved otherwise. I don't know that a bigger and better hospital would have helped many that night, but I know many of those who said they did vote originally no for a new hospital, they were more than anxious to pony up tax dollars out of the county to build and improve. The night of tornadoes across the Texas Panhandle would stand out for a long time to come as one of the worst spree of tornadoes in the nation. They estimate 15 tornadoes occurring between April 17 and April 18 in 1970. 9 in the state of Texas, and 4 of the 9 in Texas were rated F4. F5 is the highest velocity rating for a tornado. And a tornado of any strength slamming into a trailer park, those inside the mobile homes or trailer park homes, they had very little chance of survival. So we got our story, including the story about how the hospital improvement plan had been rejected. And we headed back to Amarillo to fill out our full report. Damage at that time estimated $8 million or more. In today's dollars, I don't know what it would be. But it's the fatalities, the loss of lives. 17 just in that one area, mostly around that lake reservoir. Aside from that tornado, the worst damage I've seen is the one that took place in Joplin. That occurred May 22nd, 2011. That will be for another night. Tomorrow night, the story behind the story, the Empire State Building. Fascinating on the construction and a few other things that happened. That will be tomorrow night. Our second hour is still to come. You don't want to miss it. And remember our pledge. It's easy. One nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. You and I might have something in common, back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.